أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness to give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. The seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of guidance is that guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the Holy Quran,
وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِكُلِّ نَفْسٍ ظَلَمَتْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَافْتَدَتْ بِهِ وَأَسَرُّ النَّدَامَةَ لَمَّا رَأَوُ الْعَذَابَ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has said in Surah Yunus, and if every person guilty of tyranny, or the best word as Allah uses is, ظَلَمَتْ, if they possessed all that is on earth, and were to give it in ransom for themselves, it would not be accepted. And they would feel in their hearts regret when they see the torment. And they will be judged with justice and will not be treated unfairly. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are discussing today a dhulm. And this word, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, a dhulm, it has a wide spectrum of meanings.
there's a aspect as when its root ظَلَمَ is discussed, part of it can be observed in a action, and the other aspect of it can be observed with or in a physical sense. Neither are good. When we talk about ظَلَمَ يَظْلِمُ ظُلْمًا ظَالِمْ ظَالِمِينَ or ظَالِمُونَ or ظَلَمَتْ as in this ayah, regarding action, it is to do wrong or specifically evil. Now we know when someone says that's evil, it means that the person who did it with intent to do wrong, as opposed to someone who has done something wrong accidentally, that they wronged someone without intent. They meant well, but as a result of their actions, either due to ignorance, they did wrong by mistake. But when we say evil, it is with intent to cause harm, to treat unjustly, to oppress, repress, suppress, oppress, to be a tyrant, to commit tyranny, to usurp the rights of another, to deny the rights of another, to wrong another or to be unjust or commit an injustice or to be unfair deliberately. This is an action, a ظلم. In the physical manifestation, it is the dark, darkness, gloom, murkiness. This is also the definition or its derivative branch when we talk about ظلم. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِم بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. These of our people have taken for worship gods other than Him, Allah. Why don't they then bring for themselves clear authorization for what they are doing? For who does more wrong, more oppression, more evil than one who invents a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the apex of evil is to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His right, His right to be recognized as one, alone, unique, His right to be worshipped as such, without partners, without any associates, without ascribing to Him a son, without ascribing to Him a wife, without mentioning or asserting that He appeared in some personage of one of His creation. As Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ, and when Luqman said to his son, when he was advising him, O my son, do not join in worships others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not make shirk. Surely, the shirk in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, joining others in worship with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great evil indeed. As it says in the Arabic, لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Mighty, very, very great, very, very evil. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we should know that the dhulm, it has degrees. And as we mentioned, its apex is shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, its essence is to abuse the power that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. Any power, no matter how small. If you've been given the upper hand in a matter and you intentionally enrich yourself at the expense of someone else, whether it be in monetary form, whether it be in status, whether it be to abuse that other person's reputation or honor, whatever it is to deny that person their right in any shape and form, because you have been given the upper hand, then you are guilty and you may be counted as an oppressor. Now, a'udhu billahi min dhalik. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Is not the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon those who are guilty of dhulm, who are oppressors, who are wrongdoers, suppressors, evildoers. Fill in the blank. The curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on them. Again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, do they not consider, do they not figure, that Allah has not neglected what the zalimun are doing, but He gives them respite until the day when the eyes will stare in horror. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we should know that the punishment for the zalim, for those who are guilty of dhulm, those who oppress, those who are given to evil doing, wrongdoing, purposely, their punishment is unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the Holy Quran, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Surely we have prepared for the zalim, for the zalimun, those who are guilty of oppression and evil, a fire whose walls will surround them. And if they ask for help, they will be helped to water like boiling oil. It will scald their faces. Terrible is that drink and an evil residence. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we should be wary of what we do. We should beware and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says in His book, no matter whether it is big or small, large or small, you will see it, your deeds. And again, He reminds us, and those who are given to dhulm, to evil, they will come to know the means by which they will be overthrown. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He reminded us in hadith that the dhulm, the evil, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here is of three kinds. There's the one that Allah will never forgive. There's the one that you cannot escape. And lastly, there's the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He decides, He may forgive you or He may not. With regards to the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive, it is the shirk, to deny him his right. And we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking. We seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from committing the shirk. As Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with worship for him. But he forgives everything except that of whom he pleases. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, and the dhulm, the evil that you cannot escape, is the evil when you have usurped the rights of another human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let on the day of judgment the one who suffered an injustice to endure that injustice. As a side note here, we want to mention, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that in other places in hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the one who has been wronged will be brought forth, and the one who wronged them will be brought forth. And if there is no forgiveness, if they had not settled between themselves, then the one who is wronged will be able to take from the person who wronged them of their good deeds until they are satisfied. And if that person has no good deeds, then they will have to take of their evil deeds until they are satisfied. And so thus someone who may be doomed to go to the fire because you wronged them, they may go to the paradise based on your wrong of them. And you, as a result, may go to the fire. May Allah save us from this. Amen. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this is the evil that you cannot escape. Continuing the hadith, he said, the third dhulm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive if He decides to is the wrongdoing against your own self. On the day of judgment, your soul will stand before you. As we see in many parts of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically in Surah Yasin, He says that their mouths will be sealed and their parts of their bodies will speak and bear witness against them. And the same is true for your soul. Your soul will say, you had been given complete authority over me, and you wronged me by committing so and such sin, and by doing such and such action, and by neglecting to do such and such deed. That was the right of Allah on you. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive you, or He may not. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the evil has no hand, has hands rather, but no heart, because it whips with no mercy. So I remind you, as I remind myself, that if there is anyone in your mind that you feel you owe a debt, an apology, that you feel there was some wrong that stands between you, that has not been resolved, that you have not gained clear forgiveness of, that you have not righted that wrong. I advise you, as I advise myself, fix it here. Whatever the cost to settle is worth it. Because on the day of judgment, there is no pockets, no currency exchanges. The only thing that can be bartered is deeds. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us against the oppression of ourselves. As He mentions in Surah Al-Kahf about Ar-Rajulain, the two men. One of them, He says, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. And when he went into his garden, he wronged himself. Zalim, he wronged himself, saying, I don't think that this will ever perish. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes into more detail about what He said, of His denying of what Allah has revealed, what Allah had warned against, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everything here will blow away. Nothing shall remain. He was arrogant. He thought he was special. And instead of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he denied what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had warned us about. And thus Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, do not adopt this attitude. Do not allow these manners to be part of your character, your behavior. But instead He advised, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. It is better for you to say to this man when he entered his garden, that which Allah wills, mashallah, whatever Allah wills, la quwwata illa billah, there is no power without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the manner of the Muslim. Wallahi al-azim, in my lifetime, I've witnessed a man bragging about his age. Oh yeah, I'm such and such and so and so. Look at me, I'm healthy. Was dead within a week. Zalim li nafsi, wronged himself. Instead of saying, MashaAllah, what Allah has decreed, Alhamdulillah, for what He has given me. Because we didn't do it for ourselves. Nothing that we have are we in control over besides what Allah gives us power to have. La hawla wa la quwwata. There is no power nor might illa billah. It does not exist without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us and gives us the words to turn to Him in repentance, as what He gave to our father Adam alayhi salam. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh, our Lord, we have wronged our own selves. And if You do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, then truly we will be amongst those who are lost. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the dhulm, the evil, is bad luck. One such example is of a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tested him with his circumstances. He was a fisherman, and he went out to fish with his net, and no matter how many places he cast it, when he drew it out, there was nothing happening. He went from place to place, dragging his net, throwing it in the sea, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him feed his family, knowing that they were at home, anxiously waiting so that they could fill their stomachs. So as it began to grow dark, and he began to grow weary from dragging his net from place to place, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heavy supplication and sincere heart, begging Allah, please, O Allah, bless me. Bless me with some means so that I can feed my wife and children, and so that they won't go to bed hungry. No sooner than he cast his net for that last time, he felt it heavy, and he pulled, and he barely was able to draw it out of the sea. When he looked in the net, it was a golden fish of 40 pounds. One he had never seen. And since he was so far from home, he grabbed the nearest barrel he could find, filled it with water, and put the fish in it, and made two rak'ahs, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his assistance, for his blessing him. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the man struggled with his fish and this barrel, getting it to his home. He was barely able to manage it and carry it. On his way, it happened that the king of that day was passing through town with his entourage, and they saw him coming. And as the king was on his horse, he was curious, what was this man carrying that was so heavy that he was barely able to make it down the way? So he had his soldiers bring him forward. And he asked them, what is this? What's in that barrel? So the fisherman obliged. He opened the barrel, and the king was amazed at how beautiful and how large this golden fish was. So he said to the man, you know, that ocean is mine, and I don't remember giving you permission to fish in it. So he told his soldiers to seize the barrel. And the man returned home to see his wife and children standing outside waiting for him, and he empty-handed. So they were dismayed and saddened once the fisherman told them the news that he had lost his fish to the king. I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and all faces shall be humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects everything. And he who carried a burden of evil, meaning that he wronged or committed tyranny. Then became on that day, or rather he will become on the day of judgment, a complete failure. In other words, oppression is bad luck. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the king returned with his army to his palace, pleased with his catch, and called to the queen. When she came, she's like, "What's all the ruckus? What's going on?" He said, "You have to see this wondrous treasure that I have found." So he went to the barrel and opened it up and pointed to the fish. "Look! Look at this golden fish." No sooner than his hand was above the water, the fish leapt up and nipped his finger. You should know, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that no matter what the king did that night, he was unable to sleep from the pain, and it began to spread. When the morning came, he called every doctor and scholar he could find in his kingdom to try to rid him of this pain. And it began to move further and further up his arm. The doctor said, "Well, we must be honest with you. It looks like you're going to have to cut off that finger because the poison may spread. If you don't, you may die." So they cut it off. To no effect. He still spent another night writhing in pain. The next day, the doctors came to him at his behest. They examined his hand. Got bad news. "You want to keep your life, you're going to lose the hand." Seeing no choice, he said, "Okay, take it." And they did. They took the finger, they took the hand, but the pain remained. The next day, called them, said, "What are y'all doing to me? I'm still in pain." And they looked, and the poison had moved faster than them, and it reached his shoulder. Said, "Bad news. You want to live? Need to lose the shoulder." And so he said, "Take it." And they did. At this point, fear seized his heart, and he felt that he would not be able to survive another amputation. So he called to his courtiers, called to his scholars, decided, "Okay, I need to write my will." The scholars among them, they said, "Okay, we understand, but how did you get to this position?" And so he recounted the story of how he obtained the fish. So they said, "Look, in our opinion, you will never heal unless you find this fisherman, return the fish, pay him, and get him to forgive you for what you did." So the king, Allah blessed him not to be stupid, and he sent his army out looking for the fisherman. It wasn't long before he was standing before his court, and the fisherman was surprised to see his condition. So the king said, "Look,
here's your fish, here's a treasure, I just need one thing from you. The fisherman said, Your Majesty, after running into you that day, I have not fished in your sea. You told me it belonged to you, so I have not returned to it. What harm have I caused you, O Your Majesty? How can I right the wrong if I have done so? Said, I didn't call you here for that. He said, here is your fish. Here is a treasure. I just need one thing from you. He said, speak it, Your Majesty. He said, tell me the truth with no fear of retribution. What did you say when you went home that day after we met? He said, I found my children and my wife in tears from the hunger. And that I myself was in no better shape than them. And I could barely stand on my feet to see them in this way, knowing I had nothing to give them. So I opened my hands and turned my face to the heavens and I said, Oh Allah, this king showed me his power and he seized what was mine by right. Oh Allah, show him your power over him. The fisherman turned to the king and said, That is what I said. The king began to weep. And he turned to the fisherman and he begged him for his forgiveness, asking him, pleading with him to overlook his fault, to accept the treasure in payment for the harm, and to take his fish with him. The fisherman forgave him and he returned home with his catch and with more than what he bargained for. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the king's repentance, healed him, and he survived. And Allah knows best. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, May Allah have mercy upon the one who owes his brother due to his oppression of him. And he settles with him before the day of judgment, where there is neither dinar or dirham. In our parlance, where there is neither dime nor dollar. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you, as I remind myself, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever usurps the right of his Muslim brother, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the fire and deny him the paradise. One man who heard this, he stood, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it be a little thing, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, even if it be a switch. I don't know if some of y'all youngsters may not know what a switch is. It's just a thin branch from a tree. Even if it be a switch from the araq tree, something that you may walk over or step on, even if it be that, that you have taken as a right of your brother, you may be denied the Jannah on the day of judgment. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hadith Qudsi, O brother of the messengers, warn your people that they should never permit the oppressor to enter any of my houses, meaning the masjid. I shall curse him, even if he stands between my hands stands in Salah. He will be under my curse until he settles with those that he oppressed. Whoever does this, whoever settles and rights the wrongs that he committed, I will be the hearing with which he hears. I will be the sight with which he sees. He will be among the best company of those whom I permit into my company. And I will make him my neighbor, along with the prophets and the truthful and those who died in my cause. And I will mark him amongst the good of those in paradise. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, he reminded us that there is no servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who endured an oppression, who endured the wrong of another, that as a result he looks up to the heavens, pleading to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look upon him and say, Labbaik, I am at your service. It is your right upon me to grant you victory, even though it may take time. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we could go further, but let it suffice to say, inshallah, in this hadith Qudsi, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my wrath is multiplied upon the oppressor. Upon the evildoer. Because there is no one that has been denied their rights more than me. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I would be wrong if I did not mention this. The worst thing that we can do is to take from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then return the gift with ingratitude. Many of us, whether it be we are from this land or from others, may not appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in a masjid. And again, I'm mentioning this because I don't want to be charged that I wronged you by not telling you. This is not a plea for money. This is not me beating the drum for you to empty your pockets. This is, inshallah ta'ala, a means for me to share with you the truth. This place multiplies your good deeds by 40 times when you are here. Whatever good deed you do, smiling to your brother, making salah, paying sadaqah or zakah, making any type of ibadah for Allah, dhikr, it is increased here within these precincts 40 times. On Jumu'ah, it's more. During the holy month of Ramadan, it's more. During the holy months, the sacred months, it's more. And so this is a ni'mah that you can't get just a step outside its gate. One step out the gate, 40 less. One step in, 40 times more. And it provides a service. As for the Muslims, a sanctuary, a place to flee from kufr and evil. A place to come to clean yourself. For those of us who may not be able to travel for whatever reason to make the Hajj, this day is your Hajj, and it is accepted and complete. Jumu'ah, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Hajju miskin. It is the Hajj of the poor. Can you make Jumu'ah outside the gate? Maybe. But it's inside the masjid that it is sacrosanct. Because it follows the template of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set as the first house, Baytullah in Mecca, that he sent his prophets, his friend and his beloved, to clean for those who come to visit. And he blessed all of those who take that template, all of that, those masjids that want to gain the same type of ni'mah, that this hawla, this area, is not like any other area. It is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shall be called his house. You can't get this at home. And if this was not here, you have to travel to find one like it. So it serves as a ni'mah, a blessing, and a convenience, and a witness. And whatever you do, whatever dollar that you give to this house, or any house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where it is accepted from you, you get the same reward as if you built the masjid. And Allah will build for you a place in paradise. What other possible deed, action, can you do to get this? Name it. Name it. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when I mention this to you, I'm mentioning that you do not want this masjid to come on the day of judgment as a witness against you that you wronged it. That you visited it like a thief. I'm coming to get, but I ain't giving nothing. I don't like that, brother. I don't like this. He said such and such. I can't bring my kids. I can't bring my kafir people. So I'm not giving. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah save me from being like you. Because this masjid will come on as a witness on that day against you, and you will not be able to defend yourself. So I mention this because I don't want to wrong you. Well, you can turn to me, brother, why didn't you tell me? I told you. What you do after this is up to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says in his book, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged our own souls. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And if you do not forgive us, وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And have mercy on us. لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We will be lost. May Allah save us from being oppressors. Save us from being evildoers. Oh, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, here I'm asking you, whatever wrong that you have envisioned in your mind for me, I'm asking for your forgiveness. I forgive all of you. Please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, settle your debts between yourselves. We're brothers in Islam. Settle it here while you have the chance. May Allah bless us, inshallah ta'ala, to clean our records. Bless us to be, inshallah ta'ala, amongst those who have been granted the paradise and saved from the fire. Ameen.
ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت اقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا او اخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقه لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.